Hello, everybody. Hello, Bonk.
Hi.
Hi. What was that? You made a weird face when I said hi
I
to the folks.
I just heard a weird thing.
Yeah?
There's a party going on. A celebration.
Where? Oh, for us?
So bring your good times.
Yes.
And your laughter, too, because we're going to have a 100th episode for you.
Yeah. Continue the entire rest of the song, but do clever plays on the lyrics that make it about panning the stream.
Okay. That's the only lyric that I know.
All right. Well, I think you did a good job.
I'm trying to think. My brother Dan and I used to dance to that song like every day.
Didn't you dance with your Barney toy to that song?
And we would throw candy around and dance. It was weird.
That sounds like a fun time. That sounds like a fun childhood. This was childhood, right? This wasn't like a few weeks ago.
We were children.
Okay,
yes.
It would be weirder if you in your late 20s.
What,
and 30s
an adult can't celebrate? Can't spontaneously dance?
You know, you can. I feel like I've seen you spontaneously dance before.
I often dance.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that at all.
I hope you dance!
Do you remember when you were doing like a weird like butt dance thing in the living room and you kept backing up while staring at me and smiling and you were a millimeter away from shoving your ass directly into the stereo speakers and
which
knocking
would land
it up?
Onto the TV. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It would crash into the TV and then also onto the PC right next to it. I just like saw it in slow motion because you were staring at me and you couldn't see what you're backing up into, and I just saw the future and I just saw, and you would fall, and it's not like you would just do it and stand there and go, oh, darn. You would fall over a bunch of things. You fall in slow motion, which is weird, so it would have been, I should have had a camera rolling.
I wish the audience could see you twerk. It's
pretty
it's so good. It's so hot.
Well, you requested. I have never twerked of my own volition.
Oh, please.
No, I have not.
I've caught you twerking many times.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'll walk into your room here.
Yeah, you're going
to. And I assume you're playing Call of Duty because I'll hear a bunch of noise.
Oh,
and when
yeah.
I walk in, it's just you twerking.
Yeah.
There's not even any mirrors around.
When the game room is rocking, that means, well, I don't know how to rhyme twerk with anything. But I'm not good at dancing in general.
No, I feel like when I really turn it on at like weddings and stuff, if I've been drinking, you never meet me where I need you to meet me. You're always like kind of just swaying back and forth. I need you to be like way up, like in, you know, like seriously grooving territory. And you're just like more swaying with the breeze kind of thing.
I need like 15 drinks to sway.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's how insecure I am about dancing.
You know what it is about dancing?
What?
I don't know how to like dance in a club scenario, like
right.
Where people try
like
to
grinding and things,
or will people just try to like dance to like not look silly? Like I like silly dancing.
Yes,
I wish I could just dance like normal, like how normal people dance without being self conscious. But I can only silly dance, and what that means is kind of the way I like to approach it is to enact everyday scenarios through dance, kind of like an interpretive dance,
mm-hmm.
if you will. For example, I'm pushing my cart through the grocery store aisle.
Yes,
I'm selecting a can of soup. I'm checking the label. I didn't like that one. I'll put it back. You know, I'll shuffle down the aisle. Some more.
You're mimicking this.
Smell
you're not
some
actually
fruits.
Doing it.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I kind of give that illusion. I try to take the people that are watching me, the observers, I try to take them to a special place.
Yeah.
In this case, a grocery store.
You're painting a picture. You are an artist,
yes.
If nothing else.
Sometimes I'll be swimming underwater. You
yes.
know? Sometimes I'll be picking up trash off the highway.
I feel like I've seen you mimic full like murder and attempted escape scenes before.
I'm sure I have.
With a creepy smile on your face.
Mm.
Like digging up bodies in the woods and then driving away from the cops and then like dying. I feel like I've seen you act out like 10-minute long sequences, which I don't think qualifies as a dance at all at that point.
Sometimes I get carried away.
That's just you doing a mime routine.
Do you remember that one time I told you we couldn't go to bed until you did a 10-minute promo, or until like you did a promo on trash and you could only stop when I said to stop, and you ended up doing it for like 10 or 15 minutes straight. It was insane.
Had I been drinking?
I don't think so.
Really?
It was amazing.
I was just laying in bed cutting a promo on trash?
Yeah, well, it went from trash to like cattle, like farm cattle, to like aliens and the government, and
what?
You went places for sure.
Oh, wow. I have no recollection of this.
Okay. Do you want to do it now?
No, that's for
yeah,
you.
That would be good.
That's just for you. No,
okay.
That's for you. You can't give the people everything.
We give them everything, Dan. We put it all on the line for this podcast.
Here in the Pizone, on this Painting the Stream podcast?
It goes down in the Pizone.
It does. You know what's going on? You know what? You referred to this at the very beginning, and I took it in a different direction. So let's just bring it up here again. 100 episodes.
100 episodes.
This is our 100th episode of Painting the Stream. 100th consecutive, every week, every Sunday morning episode of Painting the Stream.
100 episodes.
Yeah, it went by fast.
So fast. That's... Thank you for listening, everyone.
Yes, thank you so much. And it has only grown dramatically since we started.
Indeed.
And it is heartwarming to know that you are out there and listening. And that is what keeps us doing this each and every week.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't thank you enough. It's something, you know, we've said it before. It's something that we started just because we did not have a creative outlet for us together to put out there. You know, I've always had, you know, podcasts and things, public-facing things that I've got to work on creatively. Bonk, you and I have not been able to do that together.
And what's more creative than criticizing other people's creative endeavors?
That is the greatest of all art, I believe, is
just complaining
being
about
snotty.
What they did wrong.
Yeah, I didn't like this. Yeah, into a microphone. And yeah, we're the only people out there that have a podcast, so we're really kind of trailblazers. We started this as a little thing where it was just supposed to be us talking, and then a lot of people started listening, and we can't thank you enough.
Thank you.
Yes. And so, we are watching something this week. It is a movie called Uncut Gems.
Uncut Gems, as you like to say.
It's all the same.
Uncut Gems.
Jim. They're all the same. They're all pronounced the same.
Uncircumcised Gems.
There's G-Y-M, G-E-M, and... Wait, what's the one I'm... Oh, and J-I-M, the name.
Yeah.
It's all Jim.
It's
I'm
gem.
Going to the gym. Hello, Jim.
Jim.
Oh, look at these uncut gems.
Jim.
Jim and Jim?
They have the vowel in the middle is why they're pronounced differently.
So let me do it right here. Uncut gems.
Gems. Yeah.
Is that right?
Uncut, I mean, you're okay, saying it really weird.
We watch Uncut Gems. Is that correct?
You're saying it like Mike Mahardy. Gems. That's how he talks.
Gems. Well, that's how you told me to say it. So we watch Uncut Gems. So here's the thing. This one's a little wacky right now as of this recording because it is available on Netflix everywhere but the United States. Mm-hmm. So if you have Netflix, you can watch this as long as you don't live in this country that 80% of our listeners live in.
And as far as we're concerned, we actually took a little trip we drove our car to Europe, which is something you could do.
We did,
just to watch this.
Yes, we did. The British Dan and Bonk out there, we watched it on their Netflix account.
Mm-hmm.
We've got doppelgangers in Europe. That's a whole story. We'll have to go into another time. It's not that interesting.
It's very interesting, but it's a very long story.
Yes. But also, starting February 25th, you should be able to get this on Amazon Prime Video streaming. And I assume that it's going to go up in a lot of places if it's going up on Amazon.
Yeah, there are ways to watch like the European Netflix offerings, use VPN. There used to be this extension I used to have in Chrome.
Yes.
That would let you do it. So there's ways to do it without, you know.
Yep.
Being a criminal.
Exactly. So go about it the right way if you can. Watch Uncut Gems. See it in a theater if you can. I don't know why I'm saying that months after it was released in the theaters.
I think it's still in theaters.
Okay. We'll go do that.
Yeah, and I think probably maybe around the time that you're hearing this, you'll be able to stream it on Amazon, like pay for it, like rent it.
Yes, that's what I saw. Yeah. So, yeah, rent it if you can. So it's also, you know, we're not too far removed from the Oscars right now, and people were talking about it. It's one of the more, like, recent movies we've ever done in terms of, like, recording after it came out.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
Yeah, but we definitely just wanted to talk about it, because we watched it randomly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we talked about it for a while, but we just had a Saturday.
Oh, let's set the stage here.
Go ahead.
Dan and I unexpectedly had just the most legendary Saturday of all time. It was, the only thing we had planned was that we were going to go to this place called the Colony Grill in Stamford, which has this bar pizza. It's like super thin and super crispy.
I walked by people at work today in the break room, and I just heard them say, like, yeah, I don't know what stingers are. They sound like something hot, but there's the hot oil. And then I just stopped in my tracks, and I was like, are you talking about Colony Grill? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, I was there this weekend. It's amazing. I think people in Stamford love that place.
Yeah, it's awesome. If you're ever in Stamford, you got to go. And it's like the pizzas are pretty small, and because they're so thin, you don't feel like shit for eating most of a pie.
Mm-hmm.
But at any rate, that was the only thing on the docket. We ended up kind of sleeping in and just listening to the ambient sounds outside with Razor between us and, you know, getting up in the afternoon because we have no real responsibilities.
No.
You know, went to this pizza joint. I took a nice walk. You played some Call of Duty. I played some Final Fantasy.
Did we take Razor to the park that day?
No, that was Sunday. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it got to be pretty late, and Dan, with his cute little butt, waltzes into the living room around midnight, and we both decided right then and there that we were in the mood for some uncut gems. It was perfect night for it.
Yeah, you had SNL on, and I watched a couple sketches, and then, like, I don't know what made us think of it, but it was like, hey, we should watch that movie.
It was just the perfect situation.
Yes.
Midnight, Saturday night, both feeling good, had a really nice leisurely day, and then we watched this bonkers movie.
Yes. So I would put this, we've both seen our share of Adam Sandler movies, I'm sure. We've never really talked about Adam Sandler movies, but I think it's assumed.
Mm-hmm.
People our age probably have seen Sandler movies. I know I'm a bit older, but, you know, Sandler was a big deal when you were growing up, right?
Oh, sure. I remember Waterboy and Mr. Deeds. I obviously remember all the SNL stuff.
Yeah. I feel like I remember when he, like, exploded with Billy Madison.
Oh,
and
yes.
And then it was Happy Gilmore, and then...
Is Billy Madison the one where he plays like, he goes to school?
Yes. Billy Madison's the school one. Happy Gilmore's the golf one. And there's, like, Little Nicky where he goes to hell. I never actually saw that one. Lots of little cameos.
I don't know why I said Mr. Deeds. That's definitely not one of the more notable Adam Sandler.
He was still, like, kind of near his, like, ascent, I would say, at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to, like, I feel like there was, like, a gap between, like, Prime, Happy Gilmore, Sandler, and then, like, I'm going to do a million Netflix movies, Sandler.
Yes.
I feel there was a gap where he was doing, like, a bunch of, like, Jack and Jill or, like, 50 First Dates and Spanglish type stuff where it's, like, nobody really talked about it. Although I think people like 50 First Dates, don't they?
I think people like that one. I think that, like, with the, all the Netflix stuff and the grown-ups and grown-ups 2 and everything, I mean, if you think about it, he has so much money at this point. I can't even imagine. He just wants to get all of his friends together and just, you know, film a movie with his friends. I don't blame him.
Good on him. And actually, what I've heard is that they do incredible numbers on Netflix. Like, Netflix keeps ordering, like, giant bulk packages of these Sandler movies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I were him, I'd be doing the same thing. I like how he threatened just the world with, like, oh, if I don't get nominated for Uncut Gems, I'm just going to purposefully make the worst shit you've ever seen. Like, if you thought my Netflix stuff was bad, it's going to get way worse, and I'm going to do it on purpose.
Oh, well, because
he's like showing us that he's obviously a very good actor.
Yes.
And he's like, all right, if I'm not getting my due for it, like, he's joking. But
it's interesting when these actors that are obviously comedians or actors that are known for comedies have, like, a dramatic turn. You know, I've heard that acting in comedy is way harder than a lot of people think it is. So if you're a good comedic actor, it lends itself well to being a dramatic actor because you already have a certain, you know, degree of skill.
Yeah, if comedy is, like, an especially hard thing to do, then, like, if you can master that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I bet, like, a great actor like a Russell Crowe, I can't imagine him being, like, an amazing comic actor.
He is.
He is an amazing comic actor?
Yes.
Really? And what?
I don't know.
Okay. Master and commander, far side of the world. No, I think, like, the great comedians, I think we saw that with, like, Jim Carrey.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Carrey. He made plenty of dramatic turns that were really good.
Wasn't that movie, there was a movie with Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe, right? Was that Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe?
I don't know what that was.
We watched it together.
Oh, yeah, where they play, like, the good guys or the other guys?
The good guys. Something guys.
Other guys is the one with Will Ferrell.
That was kind of a comedy a little bit, right?
Yeah. But I mean, like, I couldn't see him doing, like, virtuoso comic performances like a Jim Carrey.
No.
Not that Adam Sandler's necessarily a virtuoso, but he was a very successful comic actor.
Yeah, he was that first and foremost. But this character, it's so interesting because it's just like, the way the movie is, it's kind of like a slice of this guy's life. It just throws you right in there. But the character is fully realized. Like, we meet his family, like, he has this way about him. He's obviously been very successful and his business is clearly waning a little bit, right? I mean, he has this guy that tries to get, you know, rappers and basketball players in to buy really expensive jewelry. But things aren't going that well. He seems to have fallen into a horrible gambling addiction.
All sorts of bad decisions. This
really
movie
bad
is
choices.
All about bad choices.
Oh, yeah.
And I love how, like, movies can go a couple different ways with this, where it's like, you know, when you have a character like his or like a crime story, you can either do like The Irishman, which I need to finish. I haven't seen The Last Hour, where it's like, we're going to tell you everything from when this old-looking Robert De Niro is, you know, 20 years old to when he's in the emergency ward. What's it called? Old guy home. You know what I mean. Yeah. He's in a chair being wrinkly.
Yeah, it's funny. He's in a 20-year-old that moves around like a 70-year-old or something.
Very it's very odd at times. Whereas, like, this, it doesn't waste time with, like, it's not like the first half hour is like, oh, this is back when he met his wife. Mm-hmm. This is when he had his kid. And this is when things started to go bad. It's like, when we start, everything, all the pieces are in place. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is happening, and he's in a bad way.
Right.
Go. You
right.
know?
And it just gets worse and worse.
It is so frenetic. Mm-hmm. There is a forward momentum to the storyline here that it's just like, you don't breathe. Like, there's not, like, a downtime where you're like, oh, okay, he's going to gather himself and figure out where to go from here. He is either, like, getting shoved in trunks or bawling or getting yelled at by his wife.
Getting beaten up,
making terrible bets and decisions from moment to moment. Like, I've never been a big gambler. I've liked playing the occasional game of craps or poker or anything like that, but never like high stakes where there's a lot on the line. Mm-hmm. There is an anxiety that this movie gets across of like there's a, what's the word, a desperateness mm-hmm. of like, oh my God, I need this person to win. Where we see him watching these basketball games, not as like a basketball fan, but like, I need this, otherwise I'm fucked.
Right.
And what a terrible, stressful way to live that would be.
Right.
And like, sports gambling is huge. Like, people have major, major issues with sports gambling. Mm-hmm. Like, that sounds so stressful.
It does. And especially how specific it is, too. Like, I mean, I don't know anything about gambling, but it's like, oh, if you have this many points at this time of the game or this person does that, like, you're betting on, like, very specific parts of the game, not just the end score.
Yeah, and all the phrases, like, oh, the over-under and what's the spread and all this. I'm sure this is, like, very 101 sports gambling stuff, but as someone who barely knows the 101 of sports, mm-hmm. you know, it's a level beyond me.
Yeah, but even with that being said, it's not like you need a knowledge of sports gambling to understand what's going on in this movie. The whole movie is just watching this guy's downfall, that how he gets there is kind of like secondary.
Yeah, and a big part of how he gets there is, speaking of sports, Kevin Garnett. And, you know, I'm not a huge sports guy, but, you know, I knew who Kevin Garnett was. And he's retired now, but this is set back when he was active playing with the Celtics. He is really good in this.
Oh, it's set in 2012, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he was great in this.
Like, so many athletes are so just bad and wooden mm-hmm. when they act. And, like, I looked it up, and it's not like he's been trying to get into acting for years. Like, this is, like, his first big role. And I think I saw a quote, I can't remember if it was from Sandler or the Safdie brothers, but they're like, oh, yeah, he attacked this the way he attacked stuff on the court, about, mm-hmm. like, this, he super wanted to get better and become the best at it. And, like, he clearly put a lot of thought and care into this.
Right.
Like, he is great in this.
Yeah.
And he's not a cameo.
No, he plays himself.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, maybe you could argue, like, oh, how hard is it to play yourself? But I would think it'd be really hard to play yourself, because you'd be acutely aware of the fact that you're acting.
Yeah, definitely.
You know? But he does an incredible job. The Weeknd is also in this.
Yeah.
He has a small part, and I think he does a fine job as well.
Yeah, there's a couple little cameos, but I feel like in the context of the movie, they didn't feel obnoxious.
No.
Yeah, you know, they felt like they should be part of, like, this story. Like, they fit, you know?
Also, I was thinking back on it, and I remember that Weeknd song, his, like, breakout hit that I can't feel my face.
Yeah,
I remember that was on the radio all the time when I first moved to San Francisco, which was in 2015. So this was set in 2012. This wasn't a like superstar Weeknd. This was like a pre, like, on the brink of making it.
Yeah, Weeknd. In fact, they have to explain who he is to Sandler. Right. It's like, oh, he's gonna be a big deal. Like, yeah,
and it seems like so Sandler's, I guess, mistress. What's her name in the movie?
Julia.
She claims to be setting it up for, like, a major buy from the store or something. But it's unclear if that's her motive or if she's actually just, you know, interested in attaching herself to him, because she obviously likes wealthy men.
Right.
But, yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, it just kind of revolves around... There's so many just kind of, like, turns as far as, like, what is being bet upon. Like, where the money is in play, who owes... I mean, it's basically...
There's a lot of layers.
Yeah, like, when it comes down to it, Sandler owes a lot of money to his, like, loan shark brother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And he's desperately just trying to pay him off.
Right.
And by making long shot bets...
Right.
A lot of it revolves around this, like, crazy uncut gems. Like, it has this rock with a bunch of... jewels or crystals, I don't
really
know.
Opal.
Yeah, opal. Yeah, that's right. That he had, he bought with the intention of selling it to pay off his debts. And Kevin Garnett thinks it's like a lucky stone for helping him in his games. But it's just a lot of just like, okay, he gave me his Super Bowl, his championship ring as collateral. So I'm going to put this at this pawn store. I'm going to make this bet with that money, and then I can buy it back. And then, like, there's like six different ways things could go terribly wrong.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't win the bet and can't pay off the loan shark. They sold his championship ring. And so now Kevin Garnett is furious at him. You know, like, it just seems like so... Like, the odds of things working out in this character's favor are
a
long shot.
No, it's, and then it's all that stuff, all the money shit, and then his family life is just falling apart completely as well. I thought it was interesting. Some of my favorite parts in the movie were the parts that had him and his family.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when they go to the house and you see the kids, like,
yeah.
like how his one son is, like, obviously really into gambling as well, and that's not good.
Yeah.
But also how incredibly spoiled they all are.
Mm-hmm.
And the daughter, who seems to be the oldest one, is kind of turned on him. She could probably see that he's, you know, not necessarily the best guy. And the relationship between him and his wife is really interesting and extremely strained.
Yeah, I loved when there's the scene where he's got money on the game and he's downstairs just like screaming at the TV, you know, because he's got a bet on it. And she's like, hey, go put your son to bed. And she's furious at him. They're already like basically divorced. They're just waiting until after Passover. And so he goes up there to like do his fatherly, you know, duties and tuck his son in. And he's just like laying on the floor watching the game on his phone while the kid just lays there.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that was a good way of illustrating just like the depth of just like how fucked and how addicted he is.
Right.
You know, and like when he goes to the, was it a play?
Yes,
that
his
kids were in?
Play.
And then like those dudes that follow him around.
Right.
There, that one guy is scary.
Oh,
as
God,
hell.
He's terrifying.
He's so intense.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think, are you talking about the guy that works for Arno?
I think
brother?
So. The kind of lighter haired guy that's
yeah,
like 50 something.
He has like two bodyguards, kind of like guys that, you know, collect for him, I guess.
Yeah.
And, he's really scary. Just seems ruthless. And, obviously he proves to be extremely ruthless. But,
yes.
The whole play sequence was really intense. I mean, the whole movie's nonstop fucking intense.
I don't know how they did such an amazing job of getting the feeling of danger across. Like, the whole time you watch this movie, you're just like, oh, man, this is bad. You know?
Yeah. Well, it's like, like we said, it never lets up. And it's not just what he's doing in the movie. It's knowing the consequences of what he's doing and how unlikely. Like, it's literally a gamble. Like, obviously. But it's not like he has to do something right. He's staking it on something that is very unlikely to happen. So you have that looming, like, the odds being against him in the first place.
Yeah.
These people wanting their money, like, really powerful people that want their money. You know, his business not doing great. He has a mistress. He has his wife and family. You know what I mean? There's so many layers to it. And there's just... shit coming from every direction.
Yeah, even if like one situation or one bet worked out in his favor, I felt like there was always like four or five major horrible things that could go wrong.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. It seems like obviously this is an addiction in that it's affecting his family. His whole life is dominated by this. But I was curious if, and it doesn't really go into this in the movie, but I was wondering if like the gambling addiction is something that has been persistent or if it's something that like in recent years got way worse, because there was a conversation between his wife and two people at the play in the audience, I guess, parents of one of the students in the play. And they were talking about like, oh, are you guys going on vacation this year? And Dina, Adam Sandler's wife in the movie played by Idina Menzel, was like, oh no, not this year. And they were like, oh, that's unlike you guys. So it made me think like, maybe this is a new thing and it just got really bad really quickly. And maybe he was always just financially successful and then the business waned. So he turned to gambling and it got way worse.
Yeah.
Or if this has always been something, but.
Or if he was used to a really high cost lifestyle,
but
things were just going in his favor for a while.
Right.
And like gambling will do, things are going to turn. The house always wins, all that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
It's you kind of get the feeling from moment one, basically, that there's no way this movie's going to have a happy ending.
No.
And it doesn't.
There's no other way that movie could have ended.
No. Obviously, you know, we're spoiling stuff on this podcast. Like, I think I knew from the beginning that it's like, he's going to fucking die. There's no way he gets out of this situation alive.
Mm-hmm.
There's too many people after him. He's in too deep, basically. Right. It just seemed like if he wasn't able to pay up everything, these were not the type of people to, like, make a deal or something.
No.
You know?
Even though it was family. That's another one of my favorite scenes was, I think they were at Cedar or Passover or some holiday, but they were all sitting together, him and his extended family. And the Arno guy was sitting across from him because he's his brother-in-law. And just, like, the look he was giving him was just fucking terrifying.
Yeah, that all the actors that they got, they just had this, like, intense look to them. And it really, like, who is the guy? His name's like Eric Bogosian or something, the guy that plays Arno.
Okay.
And I think he's been around in a lot of stuff, maybe as a character actor. But in this, he just, it was an interesting thing he had to play at that family dinner because it's like he had to play a character that was, like, friendly enough to not cause a scene at the table, but also, you know, just he knows that there's some major issues between him and what was Sandler's character's name?
Howard.
Howard, yeah. Oh, God, and yeah, those shots when he's just looking across the table at him.
It's bone-chilling.
The
movie is over 2 hours long, I think.
Is it?
I think it's either 2 hours or
it flew by.
Yeah, but it's so intense the whole way through.
I think it would be a movie, I hadn't thought of this until right now, but I could see myself watching this movie multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just feel like it's a ride in a way that a lot of movies are. Like, even though you know what's going to happen and everything, I just feel the moment to moment is so frenetic.
Yeah, there definitely isn't any, like, drags in it. There's no, like, a lot of times, you know, one thing will be building up to another, and then it'll be kind of quiet in the middle. Like, we just covered Blowout recently, that movie Blowout, which was an awesome movie, but it's certainly built up slowly to the final climax.
Oh, yeah.
This movie was just nonstop. Like, it was nonstop until it just hit a brick wall at the end, because it, obviously, it ended with him getting killed. But, yeah, it was fucking just insanity.
And it's not, I think when we describe it that way, it might sound like an action movie, but it's not.
No.
It's really not.
No. Like, I think the way it's shot, too, really contributes to that. Like, they get so close to Adam Sandler's face, so close to all the faces, it just feels so intimate, like you're right there with them, you know what I mean, that you're in that intense situation as well. It's relentless.
And maybe we haven't said enough about Sandler's performance, but he is incredible in this. I can't see anyone else playing this role.
Yeah, he's incredible.
Just when I think Mahardy told us that he actually, like, lived in, like, the jewelry district of New York City for like months, basically, like, trying to just, you know, see how people act around there and everything, and base his character on that. But it makes me want to see, because I had not heard of the Safdie brothers before.
Mm-hmm.
My first time hearing of them was when the trailer for this came out, and I saw everyone on Twitter being like, oh my God, did you see that? It's the Safdie brothers, it's Sandler, like, this looks incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And so what was it, Good Time?
Good Time, I think. Robert Pattinson.
I don't think I've ever seen Robert Pattinson in anything.
Yeah, he's one of those people, I kind of equate him and Margot Robbie a little bit, and to just two actors that could have just banked on their being just the most genetically blessed people on the planet, but they actually turned out to be, like, very serious actors after their initial thing. Like, Margot Robbie obviously was just the hot wife in Wolf of Wall Street before she started her career, and Robert Pattinson was in Twilight, obviously, but he was done The Lighthouse, he's done Good Times, he did a bunch of movies that have been, like, critically acclaimed.
One that was set in, like, New Jersey at, like, an amusement park or something. I feel like I heard Jeff Backlar talk about this. But all I know about Pattinson is, like, yeah, he was the Twilight kid, and I don't know anything about Twilight, so I just thought he was some, like, teen actor or something.
Right.
And then I just feel like after the Twilight stuff was done, all I've heard is, like, oh, man, this Robert Pattinson movie's awesome. So
we should check it out.
I'm actually super interested.
From what I understand, the Safdie brothers like to film around New York a lot. Like, cool. So I think Good Time takes place in New York, too.
Let's put that on the list, see if that's streaming anywhere. Yeah. I would love to take a look at that sometime.
Yeah, we should totally.
Yeah, I kind of felt throughout this that it felt in a way like a movie Rockstar Games would make. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like edgy, kind of like New York, you know, a bunch of like shady characters. The soundtrack was really, like, it felt like the soundtrack was very, like, curated.
Oh my God, the soundtrack was so good.
It's extremely good. A lot of, like, not ambient, but just kind of really, I don't know how to describe electronic music.
It was just perfect. And then at one point, Stranger by Billy Joel plays.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, it was so good.
Everything just kind of fits that tone they're going for. It's just rare to see a movie that has a vibe it is going for and just hits it on every front, from the acting to the directing to the music. Yeah, just loved it, loved it, loved it, loved it, loved it.
It was awesome.
Yeah, lived up to the hype for sure.
For and sure.
I can see now why people were like, why didn't he get nominated for the Oscar or this movie or for anything?
Yeah, really? I was confused by that as well. I mean, at least the nomination for Best Actor.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, but hell, loved it.
It was great.
Yes, one of the better ones I think we've seen on this podcast.
That was fun.
A fitting number 100 for Panning the Stream.
Indeed.
Yes. And speaking of 100 episodes, thank you. I know a lot of you have been with us from day one when we were just laying on a bed talking into the same microphone and I didn't know how to edit audio at all. And thanks for sticking with us through 100 episodes. Dan, Bonk, and Razor there on the floor.
Yes, it's been so much fun.
It has been. And a special thank you, as always, to our patrons on patreon.com/panningthestream.
We love you.
We do. We love you.
We love you.
We love you. In unison. One, two. We love you. You hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, patrons.
I don't know why I said mm-hmm. You're obviously talking to them.
Yes, this is for them. Yes. Are you a patron?
Uh-huh.
Do you write a Bonku for yourself?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. So we keep it simple here on the Patreon. It's just a $5 a month gets you an ad-free version of this podcast each and every week. And it also gets you your own custom Bonku written for you by Bonk herself. Bonk, do we have one this week?
We sure do, Daniel.
Who is it?
Daniel.
Oh, it's a Daniel?
It's a Daniel.
It's a Daniel. Cool.
I have so many Dans in my life, and they're all just the highest quality person, high tier people are named Daniel.
Excellent. Thank you.
If you've started off stumbling in your life, you end up doing great things, you should just change your name to Daniel, just so people know that you're, you know, you got it going on.
Of good ilk.
You are of good ilk. Yeah. Indeed. Daniel, thank you so much for your support. It means so much to Dan and I and Razor. We hope that if you watched Uncut Gems, you enjoyed it as much as we did.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that you also enjoy your Bonku. They all considered Daniel to be trustworthy until that dark day.
Oh, man. I love it when your Bonkus have, like I want to see a movie about what happens next. There's a mystery to them.
Yes, well.
Yes. Well, Daniel, thank you so much. Thank you to all the patrons out there in Patreon land. I don't know where
it's Earth. We are all on Earth. We could say with certainty that all the patrons are on Earth, so.
That is true.
We might as well just say that.
So thanks, thanks to the patrons.
Of Earth.
Of Earth, yes. Is Earth a Patreon? I don't know what that means.
Is Earth a Patreon?
I think I had the kernel of a joke, and then I confused myself by the end of that.
Yeah, that didn't go anywhere.
No, it doesn't.
Is Earth a Patreon?
Well, you know, we've only done 100.
You didn't even say a patron. You said a Patreon.
Well,
that's like when my mom talks about being a patron. She just calls herself a Patreon.
It's not going to get funnier if I try to explain what I was going for.
I really wish you would.
Oh, no. It's no good for anyone.
All right. Whenever I think I have a joke on Panning the Stream and I don't, I try to turn it into some kind of point.
Oh, okay.
Because a lot of times I talk without thinking about what I'm going to say.
Well, we don't plan this out, really. Like, we take notes sometimes during the thing we're watching. But yeah, this is not a super produced podcast. We kind of
goosey.
We kind of sit in the closet here. The pizone.
You have to edit that. It's the pizone. This is not
pizone.
A closet.
Yeah, I should just beep that out.
It's
that
the holy pizone land.
It is the holy pizone land. But yeah, we just get in here and talk about the thing we watched. And I like doing it that way with you.
Oh, I like doing it too. We should do another 100 episodes.
We should. And we hope that all of you out there in listener land. Man, I'm just.
Earth?
Earth, yeah, I should just keep saying Earth when I don't know how to say a location. Hope all of you Earthlings out there. Do we have a name for our listeners?
Patrons?
The panners. Patrons are Patreon.
I don't want to give them a nickname because I feel like they should give themselves a nickname, you know what I mean?
You like the Murderino thing. Did the fans do
that? Well, technically that was Ned Flanders who came up with Murderino.
Oh, and that's
for My Favorite Murder. Shout out to the enormously popular podcast that does not need to be shouted out.
From our little thing in a closet. Yeah. They're like selling out comedy clubs.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, have you gotten any feedback for us on what we should watch or do for the next 100 episodes?
You know what MinMax has?
What's that?
MinMax is one of my favorite podcasts, hosted by the great Ben Hansen.
I've met him.
And there was an article about MinMax in some local Minnesota newspaper. and they referred to it as Ben Hansen and his computer-loving cohorts.
Does he refer to that on the podcast?
Well, whenever people write in, they always say, like, computer-loving cohorts.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. I think that was the context. It might have been, like, something about Serial and his brother. Serial is one of the guys on Min-Max, formerly of Game Informer. Mm-hmm. Serial's a fucking genius.
Yeah.
Shout out to Serial.
I never got to work with him, but he has been nothing but a pleasant, kind, good person whenever I've got to see him at an E3 or a gaming show.
Mm.
Yes. Wow. All those guys, good guys, except for that Jeff Marchiafava.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that guy.
Not a fan. Up to something. Really is. Can't trust him. He'll run you off a bridge.
Oh, boy.
I'm not even kidding. You know that story?
No.
He tried to run me off a damn bridge. Hennepin Avenue Bridge in Minneapolis. We were driving to work one day, and that maniac swerved into my lane, specifically trying to run me off the bridge.
Really?
To my death.
Well, Kyle Hilliard told a story. I think they were talking about, like, their favorite Dan Reichert stories after you announced you were leaving Giant Bomb. And he tells one story about, like, it was at an E3 or something. And apparently Kyle looks just like some developer. I forgot
Phil Fish.
Phil Fish.
Yes.
And you introduced him to some random guy as Phil Fish, and he had no idea.
I vaguely remember it was a harmonics party, and I remember I was drinking, and I thought it was the funniest thing in the world, because he just has a vague resemblance to Phil Fish, and every time somebody came down and started talking to me in Hanson, I'd be like, oh, have you met Phil Fish? My good personal friend, Phil Fish?
And doesn't Phil Fish hate you or something?
I think so. Yes, I think he does. So, yes, that was just very funny to me on several levels. And Kyle will be like, I'm not Phil Fish.
That's funny when that happens.
Yes,
it is. That's a really good gag.
It is. What was that?
It was a gagging noise.
Oh, okay. Got you. So, if you want to give us any feedback or anything for the next 100 episodes and beyond, you can email us at panningthestream.
Always open for suggestions.
We are.
We love feedback, suggestions. Just want to say hi. Mm-hmm. You know, send us pictures of your dogs.
Yes.
Your actual dogs.
Yes.
If you want. I mean, you could tweet to us at
PanTheStream on the Twitter.
On the Twitter of yes. Earth.
Like, we've done 100 episodes, and it's taking me 20 minutes to get through a goodbye. Yes, we're at PanTheStream. If you want to find out what we're watching next week, you can also give us the old 5-star review on Apple Podcasts.
5 stars, mamma mia.
If you're enjoying the show, we wouldn't ask you to say that if you don't enjoy the show. But if you enjoy it, give us the old 5-star on Apple Podcasts. That is all I've got to close out this 100th episode of Panning the Stream. Bonk.
Earth is a Patreon.
All right, Razor, let's get you a treat. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Tom Monda. Thanks, Bonk. We will see you all next week.
Bye.
With another episode. Bye.